listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Hello there, WGXC listeners. This is Dan Witkowski from Camp Hill Hudson. The Camp Hill Hudson Players Theater Troupe will present an encore presentation of their original play, Happiness in the Spotlight. Have you ever asked yourself what makes you happy? You will be intrigued to see what our cast finds within the backdrop of an award ceremony where everyone is dressed to the nines. Through engaging, funny, and poignant scenes, this play combines multimedia pieces along with live action. The performance is free and will be filmed in front of a live audience, so come play a role in bringing the live action theater experience to the movie screen. The date is Friday, November 10th at 6 p.m. at Hudson Hall. Hope to see you there.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jane Scarpolino of New Haven, Connecticut. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Thomas C. Zambito reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that there is talk of expanding landfills in New York as recycling costs have skyrocketed and more renewable materials are not being recycled. The owners of bottle redemption companies want to raise the 3.5 cents per container deposit of beer, soda, and water containers. In 1987, New York set a goal of reducing, reusing, or recycling at least 50% of the state's waste stream in 10 years. It never got there, only reaching around 20% in 2008, and staying there since, below the national recycling average of 32%. Kristen Lawton, the Director of Recycling and Reduction for the Onondaga County Resource Recovery Agency, told state lawmakers last month, and I quote, "New York has too much waste and our recycling rates are stagnant. Our recycling funding system is unsustainable. It's getting more expensive for haulers to recycle. Often it is equal or the same as throwing material out. So recycling is leaking out our system," end quote. Lawmakers in Albany are considering two ideas to increase recycling a tiny bit more. One would double the nickel deposit for carbonated soft drink and beer bottles and make bottles of wine and liquor and non-carbonated sports drinks also require a deposit. Another proposal would mandate manufacturers use environment-friendly packaging, reducing paper and plastic in waste stream, giving the companies rather than taxpayers the check. New York also recently made manufacturers pick up the cost of recycling rechargeable batteries, paints, and some other products. Christy Pecky, the executive director of Just Zero, a national nonprofit for recycling advocacy based in Massachusetts, explained why more than 80% of New York's 18 million tons of waste is going to landfills, incinerators, or being shipped out of state, saying, and I quote, "What they end up doing is they permit incinerators and landfills because they want the waste to go away, but that means there is no incentive to actually reduce and reuse, compost, and truly recycle things that are recyclable," end quote. Julie Tinge, the president of the New York League of Conservation Voters, says, and I quote, "We have to do a better job of educating the public. of making it easy for the public to be able to recycle and by making the producers of goods use the most recycled content and the most recyclable materials so that we can create the circular economy, end quote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. November 7th is the final day to cast your ballot in a variety of local elections. Most local races are unopposed, though there are competitive contests in Cairo, Athens, Clabrick, and other towns. The Columbia County elections for district attorney and judges will be closely watched after incumbent retirements and newcomers running for their places. Alex Galt at Johnson News Services reports that there are two constitutional amendments on the back of this year's ballots. Both questions only ask about minor changes to already established rules. One asks voters if they support a technical change to the constitutional debt limits set for small city school districts, and the other is an extension to a change made for debt limits on local sewer projects. Hudson has the most at stake locally, as Proposal 1 asks voters if they support a change to the state constitution for small city school districts, and Hudson is one of the few in New York. Currently, Hudson schools with a total taxable value of $1.016 billion have a debt limit of about $50.8 million. A yes vote on Proposal 1 would allow the school to double that to the same percentage as most other schools around the state. The two questions are the only statewide issues on the ballot this fall that is crowded with many local elections. Voting ends at 9 p.m. on Tuesday, and WGXC will have election results online and on air as soon as we get them on election night. New York State of Politics reports that former President Donald Trump began testifying November 6th in his trial about allegations his company illegally inflated valuations on legal documents of his properties. Trump claimed the documents with the false statements were worthless. He said, and I quote, banks didn't find them very relevant, and they had a disclaimer clause. You could call it a worthless statement clause, end quote. Then Trump attacked State Supreme Court Judge Arthur Engoron from the witness stand, and I quote, because he's always rules against me, end quote. Engoron responded, and I quote, you can attack me in whichever way you want, but please answer the questions, end quote. Later, the judge asked Trump's attorney to, and I quote, control your client, end quote, and said, and I quote, this is not a political rally, this is a courtroom, end quote. Then later the judge said, and I quote, I beseech you to control him if you can. If you can't, I will. I will excuse him and draw every negative inference that I can, end quote. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, November 7th. Local early morning temperatures range from 42 degrees in Medusa to 51 in practically all of Columbia County, so I guess you guys are the winners. The regional average soil temperature is 49 degrees. Today's river temperature will be 49 degrees. Both looking healthy, normal, and on a steady decline. This is the last call for plant life. They don't have to go home, but they can't grow here, at least the vast majority. And now, for the sake of their regular cycles, we want that temperature to continue to decrease so they are not hormonally confused and they take a good, deep nap. For our homes, however, colder ground is going to slowly make it harder to heat, and soon that snow will be piled up. I like to offer general tips, but you might want to think over what your particular situation will need for the season and get supplies now while they are readily available. Maybe starter fluid for the snowblower, weatherization kits for the windows, or just some cans of soup for that super cold, snowy day we all know is on its way. And for all that stuff, today might be a good day to get out despite a small chance of rain for a few hours after we get a high temperature of 64 at 1 p.m. Overnight, though, it should be dry. Mountains will definitely dip below freezing. And most of us should bottom out just at 32 degrees, briefly, just before dawn tomorrow. Then we get a chilly, dry day with a high of 46 degrees. Overnight, rain moves in and should stay rain all night as temperatures drop to 36 degrees. It continues all of Thursday, which sees a high of 47. If you're outside and not waterproof, you do risk hypothermia. Friday is looking wet. Maybe we'll have a high of 51. Sunset today will be at 5:30 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:32 a.m. Working way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. A G2 class magnetic storm watch is on due to incoming dense solar winds. Also remember, NOAA isn't very good at this, so all we really know is something is coming. Place your bets now. Plasma winds will be average at 484 kilometers per second with an average density of 5 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then predictions say fair across the board overnight. We'll see how the incoming solar wind affects those chances. As far as aurora chances are concerned, they are low, and the current sunspot number is 67. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Nah, I don't like that.
Well, try just putting a, even if it takes a hair more time, putting a little bit more of a wry thing on correct.
Track 13.
This announcement from the producers of this record contains important information for radio program directors and is not for broadcast. The first cut on this record has been cross-format focused for airplay success. As you well know, a record must break on radio in order to actually provide a living for the artists involved. Up until now, you've had to make these record-breaking decisions on your own, relying only on perplexing intangibilities like taste and intuition. But now, there's a better way. The cut that follows is the product of newly developed compositional techniques based on state-of-the-art marketing analysis technology. This cut has been analytically designed to break on radio, and it will, sooner or later. For the station that breaks it first, the benefits are obvious. You lead the pack. Yes, no matter what share of this crazy market you do business in, no other release is going to satisfy your corporation's current idea of good radio like this one. On this cut, we're working together on the same wavelength in scientific harmony. But remember, this cut is constructed for multi-market breaking now. Don't waste valuable research with needless delay. We've done the hard work of ensuring your success. The final step is up to you. Special designer song follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And now, joining us once again, is retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson for our weekly discussion of weather and climate. Welcome back, Hugh.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So how was your weekend?
It was fine. We, of course, switched the clocks back, and I'm okay with that. Some people hate it. I'm okay with it. The extra hour in the morning, actually. And we got to see a little sun on Sunday. So, and November is generally one of our cloudiest months, so it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mind getting the extra hour, but I hate it being dark by 5 p.m. So,
well, here's one comforting thought.
We're having good weather here, but I heard something about a storm in Europe that caused lots of damage. What's going on there?
Well, it already did. It happened over the weekend. A very powerful extratropical storm, meaning that there was it was basically a cold core storm that had no tropical origin, but it progressed over warm Atlantic waters and exploded with winds over 118 miles an hour in northern France, causing near record wind speeds and all kinds of destruction. The death toll is now it's in the double digits. It's, I think the last I heard was up to 60 or 16 rather, but it's climbing. And millions were without power. And a friend of mine on Facebook who lives in the Paris, now far from Paris, show was showing me pictures of it. It was pretty impressive. So again, storms like this have happened before. They're not that atypical, but they're happening more and more and becoming more powerful. Again, we know why: climate change and warmer ocean temperatures.
118 mile an hour winds? That's pretty fast.
Yeah. And that's not even a hurricane. I mean, not officially a hurricane. That's correct.
I'm just speechless. What makes a hurricane, or what speed does a hurricane become a hurricane?
75 miles an hour, but it also depends on the structure of the storm. A hurricane is a warm core storm. The core of the low is warm. In an extratropical storm, it's cold. That's very important when they're classifying whether it's a tropical system versus an extratropical. When Hurricane Sandy hit, that was a problem because technically it became cold core just as it hit, but it still caused all kinds of damage. I think some people were confused by that. So that's the difference between an extratropical and a tropical storm.
So thankfully the weather here has been a little better than that. How did October weather work out overall for us? It was sort of warm until Halloween, and then it really took a turn.
That is correct, Bree. We had our fourth warmest October on record. 57.2 was the average compared to the normal of about 51, so way above normal. And it wasn't that long ago we had our warmest October, which was a few tenths of a degree warmer. And our freeze was the third latest we ever had officially happening on Halloween. But that doesn't hold a candle to 20. Believe it or not, in 2020, we dropped to 19 degrees on Halloween. But in 2021, we didn't get the freezing until November 2nd. That was our second latest freeze. Our latest is still, I think, November 12th, 1903. But that was back in the 1800s when the Albany Airport was, when the Albany Station was not the airport in downtown.
Any early predictions for how this upcoming winter will be?
Well, it's looking, we're going to have an El Nino. We've already discussed that in detail, but the question is it going to be strong or very strong, a super El Nino? And we're right on the edge right now of both. Probably that will end up allowing us to have a mild winter, but I want to point out that we will have some very cold snaps probably, and we could have some very powerful storms producing very heavy snow. Now, it ultimately depends on the storm track. Will it go south of us? We might luck out, or will we get clobbered? And I've already gone on record saying it's going to be above normal snow. I'm dialing it back a little bit. I'm thinking we're going to get 65 to 70 inches at the airport for the entire winter. But that could come in several storms, and they could be big ones. Again, there's a lot of other variables that go into it, but that's my guess right now. That could be an interesting winter, but it will not be a really cold winter overall.
So I know that we have lots of listeners down in Greene County because one of the radio stations down there always picks up your weather segments. How much of a difference is there between like Greene County and the Albany area for weather overall?
Very good question, Bree, and it can't be answered really quickly, but you know, generally the elevation, it's further south, but elevations are generally higher. So sometimes they get a lot more snow and cold than we do. Other times, if the storm track is further north, we might end up getting a little bit more. It just depends. Yeah, one day in December, about 10 years ago, it was 70 degrees in Hudson and in the 60s in Greene County, and we were sitting at 33, a very shallow, cold air mass was stuck over us. So, again, it can vary quite a bit at times, usually not that much. But and speaking of which, I'm going to throw something out. We're going to watch for a storm. There's going to be a little rain tonight, but then on Wednesday night, there could actually be a mixed bag of precipitation, and we could be talking about some, are you ready for this? Freezing rain down in Greene County. Hopefully it won't be a big deal, and fingers crossed, it should be light, but freezing rain is something we never really want to deal with because that's just a mess. And there could be a little snow, too, here in the capital region. I'm thinking we're looking at a little sleet, a touch of snow, and then going to a cold rain on Thursday. But, yeah, we got to keep an eye on that system for sure.
Freezing rain is my absolute least favorite weather. I'll take snow any day.
Well, it's pretty much mine, too. Yeah.
So speaking of snow, do you think it's safe for me to go to Buffalo for Christmas with my sister again? Because I got stuck there for 5 extra days last year with 6 feet of snow.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell you that. I mean, chances are excellent you will not get a storm like that, but you could get snow. One thing with El Nino, usually with a milder winter, usually there won't be quite as much intense lake effect because the air won't be as cold coming over the lakes. But that said, I mean, I don't want to tell you that it's going to, I mean, there could be snow in Buffalo, but I will strongly doubt you'll have anything like what you had last Christmas. I'll take a bet on that one.
Well, hopefully you don't get stuck again in snow.
Yeah.
How about the weather for this week? Any snow in our forecast?
Well, like I said, Wednesday night, Thursday, there could be a little bit of a puffery, a little bit of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Hopefully not a big deal. A little bit of rain tonight. It's breezy tomorrow, maybe a passing shower, 60, much cooler on Wednesday, 40s, and then the potential of wintry mix Wednesday night going into a cold rain on Thursday with highs in the 40s. Then the weekend looks good, high pressure built in. It's going to be chilly, 40s a day and 20s at night, and then some signals that next week we might have a pretty big warm-up, maybe back to the 50s or even 60s. We'll see, but the signals are pretty strong for that to happen next week. But until then, temperatures at or a little bit below normal, except for tomorrow, which will be slightly above normal.
Thanks again, Hugh, for joining us. Hugh Johnson, our retired meteorologist.
You got it.
We look forward to talking with you next week.
Indeed. Have a good one, folks.
Thanks a lot, Hugh.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The only thing that matters are the facts and the numbers. And numbers, my friends, don't lie.
New York Attorney General Letitia James says the case against former President Donald Trump in his civil trial stands in spite of the outrage he voiced in his testimony. While on the stand, the former president attacked James and court officials as Democrats and biased Trump haters, but James says none of that refutes the evidence. Judge Arthur Engoron has already ruled against the Trump Organization in a summary judgment. He found the former president and his family routinely defrauded banks and insurers by exaggerating his net worth. Trump is lashing back against the ruling with typical rage.
This is a case that should have never been brought. It's a case that should be dismissed immediately. The fraud was on behalf of the court. The court was the fraudster in this case.
Though those charges don't carry prison time, they could serve as a death sentence for Trump's businesses. Still, he has massive support in the GOP primary, and a New York Times poll even found he's slightly ahead of President Joe Biden in six battleground states. On the campaign trail, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says the lies and misinformation spread by the former president have helped disconnect Republicans from reality.
The problem is you fear the truth. The problem is you want to shout down any voice that says anything different than what you want to hear.
Christie's not the only Republican candidate talking in that way. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson says Trump will likely be found guilty in his criminal and civil trials.
As a party, we must support the rule of law. We cannot win as a country without integrity in the White House. And while some will ignore the destructive behavior of the former president, I assure you, we ignore it at our own peril.
Normally, low-drama school board elections in Idaho today are drawing more focus than usual because book bans there could impact what students are allowed to read. Kurt Zwolfer, director of The Cabin, a center for readers and writers in Boise, says aggressive school boards are overstepping their duties.
They're actually restricting the other parents' rights on what their kids can consume, both for reading and for media.
The American Library Association says U.S. book challenges hit an all-time high of 1,200 in 2022, almost double the number from the year before. A new poll says more than a third of rural voters could be swayed on kitchen table issues. Pollster Celinda Lake says the high cost of living and affordable housing are top issues in the small towns across numerous states, and there are other economic policies to watch.
The fact that we've come out of this really tough time and CEOs are hoarding the wealth and the prosperity for themselves and not sharing it with the people who actually produce that wealth and prosperity, that they're shipping jobs massively overseas.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Far-right activists pushing fringe conspiracy theories pressured red state legislatures and election officials to pull out of the Electronic Registration Information Center, or ERIC. But proposed election integrity alternatives fall far short of ERIC and are likely to be more expensive. In the past year, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Missouri, Virginia, West Virginia, Iowa, Alabama, and Louisiana pulled out after activists convinced state officials that ERIC was somehow tainted by liberal funder George Soros. Most of these states still haven't developed an alternative, leaving voter rolls less accurate and vulnerable to mistakes or fraud. At least two alternative computer services, Eagle AI and Fractal, are being touted by right-wing activists, but neither appear to have been adopted by state officials. Alabama announced its Alabama Voter Integrity Database, or AVID, in September. AVID is somewhat similar to ERIC, but relies on comparing data with only a handful of states. One election expert told NPR that the interstate agreements made by Alabama and other states don't include critical DMV data. Another expert from the Alliance for Securing Democracy, writing in the Fulcrum, also raised questions about encryption of data during storage and transit. Shortcomings aside, the actual cost of reinventing the election integrity wheel has yet to be seen. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Parents, they made us. They tried to raise us.
New 2021 music from Tune Yards. That's the song Hold Yourself.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Representative Pat Ryan believes that Americans should be able to watch sports for free and on October 31st demanded an investigation by federal officials into sports blackouts. Ryan sent a letter to the United States Comptroller General and the commissioners saying that team owners have exclusive control of their private business and who airs games, and they sell the rights to a patchwork of network and streaming services, and I quote, leaving fans with no option but to pay thousands of dollars to watch their favorite teams on streaming services like Apple TV Plus, Amazon Prime Video, and ESPN Plus. Because of these monopolistic practices and blackouts, fans still can't do the one thing they want, watch their favorite teams play ball, end quote. Monday was a rare day when all four major professional sport leagues all played games, and Ryan seems miffed that they were not all on free television. Ryan says he has regulatory oversight over sports teams because of the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961, where Congress granted sports leagues an antitrust exemption for their broadcasting agreements. This year, Mets and Yankees games were blacked out 25 times each because their league sold exclusive rights to the games to streaming services such as Prime Video, Apple TV Plus, and Peacock. Ryan said, and I quote, fans who wanted to watch every Mets game this season had to fork over more than $1,400 to a variety of streaming services to avoid blackouts, end quote. Ryan wants the Government Accountability Office to investigate. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives failed to oust George Santos from their body on November 1st, with a vote for the expulsion of the Long Island congressperson failing 213 to 179. Local Republican Representative Mark Molinaro, who was one of the sponsors of the effort to remove Santos, who has been indicted for multiple crimes and exposed for multiple lies. Molinaro and Democrats Pat Ryan and Paul Tonko voted to expel Santos, but Representative Elise Stefanik did not. Only 24 Republicans voted to expel Santos, while 182 voted to keep him in Congress. For the Democrats, 31 voted to keep Santos, with 155 for removal. The expulsion measure needed two-thirds support to pass. Santos, meanwhile, faces 23 felony charges. Mid-Hudson News reports that Representative Pat Ryan took to the floor of the House of Representatives on November 1st in support of the current ban on dangerous barges being parked on the Hudson River. The Port of New York recently made an administrative change to its rules, allowing large barges up on the Hudson River. Here's what Ryan said to the House floor.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today in defense of the Hudson River in New York State. For too long, too many that have enough wealth and enough power have gotten away with dumping toxic materials into our river, putting their profits ahead of the health and safety of our families. Now those same forces are at it again, attempting an end-around maneuver that would turn our precious Hudson River into a parking lot for dangerous barges carrying oil, asphalt, and other toxic materials. I want to be very clear. This presents a clear and present danger to our community, and we must and we will stop it. That's why I demanded that the Coast Guard uphold the anchoring ban on the Hudson River, and why I'm now calling on every single Hudson Valley resident to join me in this fight to protect our river. This is where my kids and your kids and grandkids play. It's where we get our drinking water for over 100,000 of our residents. It's the lifeblood of our community, not a parking lot for big corporations looking to make even more money. We owe it to our kids, our seniors, and our future generations to fight for our river with everything that we've got. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I yield back.
Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Kevin Frey reports at New York State of Politics that while most Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives want to cut money to Amtrak in a new transportation funding bill, local Representative Mark Molinaro does not. Republicans are proposing a massive, nearly two-thirds funding cut year over year for Amtrak. Locally, that includes a $1 billion cut to the busy Northeast Corridor. Molinaro said, and I quote, "It's one of the lines that makes money. It is responsible for a good number of jobs," end quote. Other New York-based Republicans are also against the cuts to Amtrak. Nassau County Representative Anthony D'Esposito said, and I quote, "A 65% cut to Amtrak is a non-starter," end quote. Amtrak says the cuts would, and I quote, "radically reduce or suspend service on various routes across the nation, impacting our state-supported long-distance and Northeast Corridor services," end quote. The full House was expected to vote on the transportation bill last week, but that was delayed because of protests from New York Republicans. Democrats who control the Senate want more money for Amtrak, so the final outcome for America's passenger rail service is in doubt. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, there will be isolated showers afternoon. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 61 degrees. On Tuesday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 43 degrees. And on Wednesday night, a slight chance of rain before 1 a.m. Then rain is likely, possibly mixed with snow. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Oodles of O's, you know. You get them from my sister, you get them from my bro. All I is man and once an embryo. Am I solid gold? I don't cast the glow. Yes, I guess it's reflex, some have no control. I'd rather let a laughter and tally off my dough. Canoeing up the river or out into the O. You just know me not, so not play the role. Some are lovey-dovey, I hear crazy crow. Some shake your hand, but this is called the show. I was John Doe, no, Mr. Jalico. This with the witness of now I adore. O's got the world, cause O's was on tour. Girls gave the O's and guys O for sure. Where they arose from, nobody knows. What do they mean? Well, here's how it goes. Those shoots got the O's. When you hold the dough, you know who you are, but they didn't know. And now with respect, they flex like a pro. You're first another nigga, but now an afro. Oodles and oodles and O's and oodles and oodles and oodles of O's. You know they giving oodles. Last of the fast plug pipers at the show. In your eye, burning like rubbing alcohol. Native is the tongue that speaks the guacamole. Kinfolk with platers and stereo. Chant is played a part of a herd at a show. Pot prints the piece on his jeans or Jabos. But let the herd know if beef they want to throw. Lunches of punches is what I bestow. Oodles of O's enhance my hoes and my checks. O's take the shape of medallions and specs. Don't forget the O's that let the air in my nose. Breathe in the fresh as the stale hit the road. Girls ask for flicks and I'll block the poles. Eat the out greens, won't sniff the curtain flows. Mace got something to say and it goes.
Macy O is rocking on the radio.
Now I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, you know. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, yeah. We're talking about the oodles of O's, you know. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, you know. I think we're talking about the oodles of O's, yeah. We're talking about the oodles of O's, you know. I think we're talking about the
oh shit.
Hoods like to play macho, you know.
charging barricades like a raging rhino. The donuts come big and some in jumbo. The landlord is finished, but before I go, I give a shout out to Quest and my fellow jungle bro.
Not by the dock of the bay, by the show. Swimming in the rhythm of the hottie hottie ho. Punk Pinocchio's gotta go, gotta go.
What's the reason?
To be cheerful. Season is grease, time to pimp promo. Nuts can overflow if the shade is in the go. On with me hat, dreadlock is heading out the door, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. We're selling those and those. We're selling those at the corner store, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. We're selling poodles and poodles and poodles and poodles of those, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. At the corner store. We're selling those at the corner store, y'all. We're selling those, y'all. At the corner store. We're selling those and those and those, y'all. We're selling noodles and poodles of those, y'all. We're selling noodles and poodles of those, y'all. We're selling noodles and poodles of those, y'all.
That was the Chicago Underground Quartet with the song Unique Spiral from their 2020 album Good Days.